Welcome to the New York Outdoor News Great Northeast Podcast. Every 2 weeks, we explore news and issues affecting hunters, anglers, and conservation across the northeastern United States. If you enjoy the content here, be sure to subscribe to our print or digital versions by calling 800-535-5191 or visit our website at outdoornews.com. Now, here's your host and a man who claims he's immune to buck fever, New York Outdoor News editor Dan Ladd.
This episode of the Great Northeast Podcast is brought to you by the Family Forest Carbon Program, a collaborative initiative created by two nonprofit organizations, the American Forest Foundation and the Nature Conservancy, assisting landowners in improving the health of their land with long-term sustainable forest management practices while providing guaranteed annual income. Learn more at familyforestcarbon.org. Greetings and welcome to the Great Northeast Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Ladd, editor of New York Outdoor News. Happy to be along, happy to have you along as we are just about to head for trout fishing season here in New York and in many of the northeastern states. Usually April 1st is kind of like the target date for that, give or take a week or so, depending on where you are or what part of what state you're in here in the Northeast. In New York, April 1st still serves as a pretty big trout opener, even though we have some catch and release fishing that goes on throughout the year, throughout the winter months, I should say, at least on the streams. And trout seasons other than brook trout are also open in much of the state as well. But still, April 1st, you know, it's a big day, and it's kind of a holiday for a lot of folks to get their gear together. Going to be interesting what kind of conditions they have out there, whether it's snow along the stream banks or still some iced-in ponds. The higher you go further north, that's probably going to be the case. But if you're getting out there for the opener, we wish you luck. You hope you have a good time. And please share your experiences with Outdoor News through our reader shots. You can send us a reader shot on our website. And we love hearing that and hearing your stories. So by all means, tell us what's going on. We've got quite a topic for you here on this episode, and we're going to talk deer. There's a lot going on with deer here in New York State. And before we get into that, I just want to say that as I'm recording this is March 27th, and which means the early archery season in the northern zone, the Adirondack region, is exactly 6 months away. So I'm pretty happy about that. Always thinking about deer, also thinking about turkeys, but we'll talk more about that in a future podcast. But for now, what's going on is just about a week ago, the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation released a whole bunch of proposed regulation changes, five of them actually, and four of them have to do with trying to get hunters to shoot more antlerless deer. This includes an Earn a Buck program. Actually, it's the Earn a Second Buck program, which we'll go into detail on, as well as a whole bunch of incentives to try and get hunters to shoot more does. So we're going to talk about that in depth when we come back right after this.
Are you an avid angler searching for the latest fishing news and tips? It's time to check out OutdoorNews.com. Get ready to reel in the freshest updates and expert advice from top anglers. Plus, you'll have access to the most up-to-date fishing reports, lake maps, lake reports, and more. Don't let the big one get away. Join OutdoorNews.com and reel in a world of fishing knowledge and expertise. Join today, OutdoorNews.com. Your passion, your news, your fishing journey.
Welcome back to the Great Northeast Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Ladd, editor of New York Outdoor News. And as promised, we're going to get right into this batch of regulation proposals from DEC, the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation. Again, they really want hunters in New York to take care of some of the antlerless deer, especially in the problem areas. And, well, we're going to have fun talking about all this, I can tell you. And one of the reasons I'm going to break this down in this podcast is because I've been around social media here quite a bit the past week, including some internet boards, you know, message boards, those type of things, forums. And it just seems like there's a lot of misinformation out there. I think a lot of people do not actually sit down and read how these regulations and proposed regulations are spelled out. I think they rely on information from other people. Maybe something somebody wrote on a post somewhere that wasn't accurate, or they're following somebody's opinion. So let's clear the air. And, of course, all opinions matter. And there's a lot of them that comes to this. And with that, the first thing I'm going to say about that is remember, DEC or any fish and wildlife agency in any state, their job is not just to appease us hunters. Granted, that's part of their job, but they also have to take in concerns regarding the public. And in this case, antlerless deer are a big public concern. We've got some places that are highly, highly overpopulated. I can think of at least three times this winter when I have either almost hit a deer myself or have seen somebody in front of me do it, including just last week when I watched a deer run out in front of one vehicle on a main artery near my hometown, and another one stopped right on the edge of the road and went back in. And it was a close call, and I know that person in that vehicle was probably pretty shocked and may have not have been ready for it. When are you ready for it? I've hit a deer. And I'm sure many of you listeners have, and it's not something you're ready for. It just happens. It happens quick, and kabam, it's over. So that's one of the things that, you know, DEC is looking to do here is lower deer population or lower doe populations. And anyways, there's a lot of controversy around it. You might agree with some of it. You might not agree with any of it. I have my own opinions, but my opinions are for me. Yeah, we welcome everyone to have their own opinions. But what we want to do right now is tell you exactly what is happening. So where are we going to start? Well, let's start with some nomenclature here, some terms. DMPs are what DEC calls deer management permits. They're what many of us hunters know as doe permits. That's how we term them. And or we often refer to them in writing as antlerless deer permits, but the acronym is DMP, and you're going to hear that quite a bit as we read through these regulations, because that's exactly what I'm going to do as I'm going to read through these regulation proposals. And so here we go. We're going to start with the proposal that allows an unlimited number of DMPs to be transferred between hunters. Now, here's DEC's language, their explanation. Under current state regulations, hunters can only have two DMPs transferred to them from other hunters. The proposed regulations would allow hunters to have an unlimited number of DMPs transferred to them from other hunters. Okay, you ever hear the old saying that 10% of the hunters shoot 90% of the deer? That still is true. And one of the things that's going on here is DEC says that roughly 13% of the hunters in New York State only take two deer a year, or an antlerless deer, and only 3% take an extra one beyond that. Those are kind of tough numbers. You know, that's really not a lot of deer, considering that they give out over, I think it's like 600,000 antlerless deer permits or something like that. When you consider the number of antlerless deer permits they give, they're not taking a lot of antlerless deer. So that's what's behind this proposal. Now, we all know that person that has more time to hunt, that would gladly fill numerous permits, whether it's for their own freezer or for charity, perhaps venison donation, something like that. So, you know, maybe this is a good move under that. And yeah, there'll be a person who will, you know, exploit it. But at the same time, as long as they're taking these tags from a guy and filling them legally, I have to ask, is that a bad thing? Again, some of this stuff is going to apply to different people in different areas. And one of the points I keep making about all of these proposals is it comes down to where you hunt, what your desires are, when you're hunting, and what implement you're hunting with. We'll delve more into that shortly. Another proposal is to expand the current 9-day season that they have in early September. They're going to expand the number of DMUs that will be allowed in. Currently, those WMUs are 1C, 3S, 3M, 3R, 4J, 8A, 8C, 8F, 8G, 8J, 8N, 9A, and 9F. Now, most of those are in the Hudson Valley or Western New York, and they currently have a 9-day season for antlerless deer in mid-September. The proposed regulations would add 10 more WMUs, wildlife management units, to this season, and they are 3P, 6P, 7F, 7H, 7J, 7R, 8H, 8R, 8S, and 9G. And again, mostly down in the Hudson Valley. 6P is a northern zone one, actually, I believe. And 7F, 7H, and all them, those are all in Western New York. And I stand corrected. 6P is in the vicinity of Oneida Lake in Central New York. So anyways, getting back to the proposal, what DEC wants to do here is basically encourage people to do more hunting, shoot more antlerless deer in these areas during September. Now, that season is an antlerless only season, And in most of the areas, you can use a firearm, unless I think 4J is the archery only unit that is in around Albany County. I think 3S is Monroe County. Pardon my French here, around Rochester, and 1C is obviously Long Island. These are areas that they obviously are not taking enough antlerless deer in, and DEC wants hunters to basically shoot more deer in these areas. So again, they're going to allow an unlimited number of DMPs to be transferred between hunters, meaning you're no longer restricted to two, and they're going to expand the nine-day season for antlerless deer in September. So those are the first two proposals. We're going to dig into the next one when we come back right after this.
There's a great program available for youth who love to hunt and fish. It's called the Outdoor News Junior Pro Team, and any youth 18 or under can join for free at jrproteam.com. JPT program showcases useful videos and tips to help encourage the next generation to become stronger anglers and hunters. It's a platform to celebrate and inspire those outdoor loving youth. Check out the photos of Outdoor News Junior Pro Team members on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube, and visit our jrproteam.com for more information.
Welcome back to the Great Northeast Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Ladd, editor of New York Outdoor News. And one of the things I did here on the commercial break real quick was take a look at how many deer management permits DEC allocated in New York last year. And that figure is 664,625. And again, you know, only 13% of the hunters are on average filling one of these, and only 3% fill two. So what we're trying to do, or I should say the agency is trying to do here in New York, is encourage hunters to shoot more antlerless deer. And one of the next parts, the proposed regulations here, is the process to increase that. So I'm going to read again the text here. The title of this proposal, this particular proposal, is Modifying the Deer Management Permit Issuance Process to increase DMP availability. So here's the text from it. Some wildlife management units have no DMP quota, resulting in unlimited DMP availability. DEC proposed regulations would create a second pathway for DMP issuance in units without a quota, allowing hunters to simultaneously apply for two DMPs in wildlife management units that do not have a quota, and also two DMPs in those that do, through the typical lottery process. And by the way, there's no fee increase for that. If you have a lifetime license, you get that for free. If you buy your license annually, I think it costs you $10. There's no change to that. Anyways, this would enable hunters to potentially obtain up to four DMPs when buying a license, and all hunters who apply for DMPs in units without a quota would receive them. Additionally, hunters who harvest and report antlerless deer using DMPs in any of the WMUs without a quota would automatically receive bonus DMPs, allowing them to continue harvesting antlerless deer. Sorry for all the acronyms here, but this is just how it's written. Currently, wildlife management units, WMUs, 1C, 3S, 4J, and 8C have no DMP quota. Now, we just talked about those. 1C is Suffolk County. 3S, I believe, is Westchester County. 4J is around Albany, the city of Albany. And I think 8C is around the city of Rochester. You can verify that on the DEC WMU map. The proposed regulation would allow the agency to add and remove more WMUs to this list, okay? So they can add more of these that won't have a quota. And that would help them adjust their population needs on the fly from year to year. So for 2026, what they would like to do is add 19 WMUs to the list of those that do not have a quota. And they are 3M, 3P, 3R, 6P, 7F, 7H, 7J, 7R, 8A, 8F, 8G, 8H, 8J, 8N, 8R, 8S, 9A, and 9F, and 9G. Some of those, I believe, are also on the list for expanding the season, you know, in the nine-day season in mid-September. I think a few of those fall on that same list. So there's a little bit of crossover there. So again, these three proposals that we've talked about so far, allowing unlimited DMPs to be transferred between hunters, expanding the nine-day season in mid-September, and then modifying this process so there's more DMPs without a quota, and it's a little more liberal process of getting the doe permit in these areas, is all about getting hunters to shoot more does and making it easier to get a permit. Now, the big question that comes up here, we hear it all the time, is access. I don't have access to these places. One of the things, you know, they're really hoping that us hunters will do is go to these areas. If you don't live in an area that, you know, has where you can shoot a lot of antlerless deer, they want you to go somewhere where you can. And, you know, and there are state forests and there's wildlife management areas in a lot of these places. But at the same time, some counties have less, you know, public land than others, and it's really all about knocking on doors, and not an easy thing. You know, we all want more access. Hey, I want more access. I'm a northern zone Adirondack guy, and I pay to hunt in the southern zone because there's just not enough public land in the area that I live, you know, where I can travel to in an afternoon or a morning and put in a half day or a full day hunt to, in the southern zone. And I also, that doubles as turkey hunting territory for me. So I get that. I absolutely get that. I just know that the agency can't do anything about it. Access is a tough one. And if there were some ideas out there, I'm sure they're all ears. And but the lack of access is probably not the reason to not implement changes such as these. And again, they're hoping that guys and gals like you and me we'll hop in our vehicles and travel to these areas and try to at least harvest some antlerless deer. And the incentive for doing that, the big one, is what we're going to talk about next, and that is the Earn a Second Buck proposal, which this one has people going through the roof, especially on social media. We're going to talk about that when we come back right after this.
Your land is your legacy, but keeping it healthy and thriving means caring for it now and in the future. The Family Forest Carbon Program can help you do right by your land with guaranteed income, help developing a forest management plan, and advice from experts. If you own 30 acres or more of forest land in Vermont, Massachusetts, or New York, you may be eligible to enroll in the Family Forest Carbon Program. Visit familyforestcarbon.org and enroll today.
Welcome back to the Great Northeast Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Ladd, editor of New York Outdoor News, and we're talking about this extensive list. Well, it's four proposals that DEC has put forth here in New York State to encourage hunters to take more antlerless deer. Before we get into this, the last one, which is the big one of the group, I just want to tell you that there's a lot of information out there that you can find online to read about this and verify basically what we're talking about today. I am working off the DEC press release. That's what I am sharing with you as I read along, and I'm about to do so with the Earn a Second Buck proposal. But we interviewed a DEC biologist, Brendan Quirion, from Albany, for an article in New York Outdoor News, and he explained a lot of what's behind this. And as I allude to in my editorial in the next edition of New York Outdoor News, the April 3rd edition, which also has the story quoting Brendan Quirion, they're not just pulling this out of their head, okay? This is something that has probably been in the works for a while. If you ever read the deer management plan that they published in 2021 and is guiding their decisions through 2030, you'll see that there's just a plea and appeals throughout for hunters to harvest more antlerless deer. And you knew that something was going to be done at some point. Was it going to be some of this stuff? Well, you got me on a couple of these. I always thought there would be more focus areas and things like that, like they have around Ithaca College. More January hunting, which maybe could be done in some of these the current areas that don't have any quotas, especially the ones that are around cities that would not conflict with, say, snowmobiling. Maybe some of these wildlife management units that aren't in snowmobile country could have a longer antlerless deer season, perhaps into January. And that's just me talking. But the one that's really getting things going here is the Establish and Earn a Second Buck system. So here we go. This is how DEC is explaining it in the press release. Currently, deer hunters can harvest 2 antlered deer per year. I should say some hunters. One using their bow muzzleloading either sex tag and a second using their regular season deer tag. The proposed regulations would require hunters to harvest and report an antlerless deer before receiving a tag to harvest a second antlered deer. Remember, second antlered deer, not your first one. Some of the misinformation out there says you have to earn the first one. That is not true. Your first one, you're good to go. To accommodate this, DEC is proposing to reclassify the current regular season deer tag as an antlered deer tag that could be used during all deer seasons with appropriate license privileges. All hunters would receive this first antlered deer tag upon hunting license purchase. So you're going to get that first tag no matter what. In addition, a part of a earn a second buck system, DEC would reclassify the bow muzzleloader either sex deer tag as a bow muzzleloader antlerless deer tag. Hunters who purchased the bow hunting and muzzleloading privileges would receive a bow muzzleloader antlerless tag for each privilege. So you're going to get a couple of extra tags here that you can use on antlerless deer. Hunters who harvest and report an antlerless deer on any eligible antlerless deer tag, such as the bow antlerless tags muzzleloader we just talked about, a deer management permit, and even a deer management assistant program tag, which is what you get, you know, landowners get these tags to offset the population on their property. And if you were to fill one of those for a landowner, this counts too. So this will allow you to receive a second antlered deer tag, which could be used during all deer seasons with appropriate license privileges. Make note, all deer seasons. Now, that's where some of the controversy comes in, because my friends in the northern zone, you know, we're a little worried about hunters shooting antlerless deer in areas where we really don't have a lot of antlerless deer. We have a rule on two areas we hunt, we just do not shoot them because we don't see a lot of them. I mean, we might hunt 8-10 hills a year, and we find deer on 3 or 4 of them, and we concentrate on those 3 or 4 hills. The deer are not that widespread. But again, this comes down to where you hunt in a lot of situations, and it's not a one size fits all type of thing. It's again, DEC wants guys like me to maybe not shoot a doe in the area where I hunt regularly, and go to one of these areas that has a population problem and shoot one there. That's what they're hoping will do. Will that happen? I don't know. That's, you know, that remains to be seen. But the Earn a Second Buck program has people pretty hot off the handle here, because some people feel, hey, you know, I buy this tag, I deserve it. A lot of people, let's face it, they're just there for the antlers. That's all they care about is antlers. That's it. And that's part of the problem. And that's part of today's hunting society. That's our culture. That's where we're at right now with hunting. And I don't see that changing anytime soon myself, but the reality of it is that's what exists. And by these proposals, what they're asking us to do is to basically toss that out the window for a little bit, shoot that first buck, and then, you know, get an antlerless deer tag and fill that before you go for the second buck. Now, this can cause some problems, and I allude to this in my editorial. A couple of years ago, on the last day of the early muzzleloading season, which we have in the northern zone, and it runs in October, just before the regular rifle season opens, the last day of the season, my buddy and I were walking across a mountain getting ready to make a deer drive. We walked up on some deer, and all, you know, it was really thick, beech whips. Couldn't really see that much, but we saw movement. We could see that there was one deer standing there. It was clearly a doe, and but we could see movement behind her. And we just couldn't, you know, we just couldn't pick out any more deer. And all of a sudden, this buck just jumped out, and he was gone. And, you know, it's hard to get a shot at a running deer with a muzzleloader. And we didn't get the shot. But let's say that deer come out and presented a shot, and one of us shot it. Well, here it is about noon on a Friday, and with the regular rifle season opening the next day, we'd have about 4 hours to fill an antlerless tag before we could actually go rifle hunting during the regular season. So that's a little bit of a conundrum, but that's the decisions we're going to have to make as hunters if this is implemented. The same thing's going to happen in the southern zone with an archery hunter, crossbow hunter, somebody out there mid-November, you know, and they've got a nice buck under their stand, and the regular rifle season's only a couple days away, and they've got to make a decision, do I shoot this buck now, or do I save it for my rifle tag, or, you know, my rifle season? And for a lot of people, that season is important because that's when they spend a lot of time with their family, they're part of a group, and they want, you know, that's a big deal. And if you don't have the option to shoot an antlerless deer and where you hunt, it's going to force you to make a decision. And it's going to be different for everybody. My situation is going to be different than yours and the person down the road. And it's all going to be relevant again to who you are, what your hunting desires are, when you're hunting and what you're hunting with. So the earn a second buck thing is definitely going to be interesting. And there's a lot of opinions out there about it, and we'll see what happens. Again, these are just proposals. They are not, DC has not said they're going to do all of these, and they may not implement them this year. They may implement some of them this year and some of them next year or the year after. Who right now, we don't know that. What we do know is they're out there. We know what the intentions are, and you can comment on this. There is a public comment period through May 17th. Before you do that, I urge you, anyone out there, to become more informed. Again, we've been writing about it in New York Outdoor News. We've got an extensive story on the cover where we interviewed Brendan Query and the DEC biologist. We're going to have more coverage of it, and that story is also on our website, outdoornews.com/New York. But there's other information out there. This press release can be found on DEC's website, which is dec.ny.gov. Just look for press releases. Scroll down. It was released March 18th, and you'll find it. You'll find their proposals to increase antlerless deer harvest. Within it, if you go to their hunter education page, their deer page, there's some links that are provided to even more information in this release, such as the population objectives and the deer management plan. And some QA stuff. I mean, read this stuff and get to know it and really think about how it applies to you. Because, again, this is not a one-size-fits-all situation with the earn a second buck, and it's going to apply to different hunters in different ways. So, you know, give it a good read. Give it a good think before you go out on social media and rant. And especially before you send your comments to DEC, which, again, the deadline is May 17th. Another thing you can do is you can stop into a regional office and talk to a biologist and ask them, you know, and share with them what your observations are. I'm seeing a lot of hunters who say, hey, I really don't have that many antlerless deer in this unit, and you're saying we need to kill more here. If you disagree with them, explain why. You know, again, these decisions are being made for a reason. They've looked at this. There's a process that they've gone through. And again, they're not just pulling it out of their head. It's there's a reason for it. So take the time, get informed. And this is a hot topic we're going to be talking about for quite a while. So with that, here's hoping you got a big fish in your net and you're scoping out a big gobbler for the spring. For New York Outdoor News and the Great Northeast Podcast, I'm Dan Ladd.
Missed a past episode of the New York Outdoor News Great Northeast Podcast? You can find previous programs at outdoornews.com or via your favorite podcast streaming platform. And for the rest of the story on the topics we cover on this program, get yourself a subscription to Outdoor News. Simply call 800-535-5191 or visit us at outdoornews.com. And don't forget to join us again here in 2 weeks to talk everything out of doors. Thanks for listening to the New York Outdoor News Great Northeast Podcast.